census, and you didn't have a chance to tape it, so let's tape it now. I just want to mention that it's not completely organized as well as I'd like it to be. But I think it's organized enough to be able to show you the main idea of Kehelis. What his basic idea is, and to understand what the Sefer is about. The Sefer is a very difficult one, as you know, and the difficulty stems essentially from the fact that it's fraught with contradictions. Okay? You may not have gotten, I'm sure I didn't get all of them, because I just was rushing this morning to put it together. But as I said, the main purpose of this year is really to uncover what the underlying philosophy of Kehelis is. It's really a maze that he has here. To show through the maze of ideas that he has, what he really thought. Of course, the Sefer is very disguised. And he hides what he's saying. His method of hiding it is in through contradiction. That's the way he hides it, through contradiction. But really, it's interesting. There's contradiction, but alongside the contradiction, the solution is to be found also. The solution is woven in alongside the contradiction. An interesting format, the way he wrote it. Okay, let me start with this. What are the topics that Kehelis discusses? Basically, I have as follows. One topic is knowledge itself, chokhmah. That's one topic that comes up a lot. Another topic is happiness, human happiness. That seems to be almost like a main theme. Then you have success, the concept of success. There's another topic that Kehelis takes up. Then there's the topic of justice. Justice is also one of the themes of Kehelis. Okay, and then there's ethics also, and last, and perhaps the least mentioned, but certainly not the least, is Olam Haba. Olam Haba is another topic that he discussed. Okay, and then you have a little bit. He discusses also. There are side points that he goes off onto. I can't take up everything in Kehelis, but the side points are also related to the main themes. What I want to take up is just the main themes. Okay, Olam Haba. Then of course the solution is interspersed. Now there are tapes, previous tapes on Kehelis. Of course, we did it once before, but I think that if you've gone through those, how many have gone through those? Those tapes give a very important basis. We did the first couple of stuffings on tape, and I think that what we said at the time was opened up. We didn't put together the whole picture at that time. We're going puzzle by puzzle, but the ideas that were mentioned are very important. Without those basic fundamental ideas, it's difficult to get into Kehelis. I'll mention it. I'll bring it in the main part of what we said. There's a refrain in Kehelis. He repeats it again and again. It's Havel HaVolim, HaKol Ovo. That everybody knows, right? Well, everything is empty. Havel means... Hevel means... means it's it has nothing. Wind, nothing. Air, worthless. Vain. That's what the term Havel means. All right, I'll try to intersperse it in the answer. But let's take some of the topics, okay? Let's take, for instance, the topic of knowledge, all right? If you take a look, in the area of knowledge. He makes reference to it in many places. I may not have gotten all of them, but I think I have enough to show you what the problem is. For instance, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Yud Gimel. Okay? Alright. He says, "An asatias libu lidrosh v'losur b'chokma. I'll call a shanasa tachas shemayim. I made up my mind, I gave to my heart to search through wisdom for everything that is done under the heavens." Then, of course, the last part of the pasuk, typical Kabbalah fashion, he seems to be, you don't know what he's saying. Hu inyan ro, this is a bad thing. The son of the king of Ne'odam Lanas Ba. It would seem that he's saying that knowledge is not a good thing. So why is he doing it? You don't understand. There's a very pasuk of a contradiction right there. Yeah, of course. I mean, before I start, I mean, the mere existence of Kohelis shows you one. There's one premise that you have to outrule immediately before you start Kohelis. That is that the philosophy of the simple religious Jew cannot be the ultimate philosophy of Yahdut. Because the religious religious Jew philosophy is that I do good in this world, and therefore I get all of my blood. God pays me back. If that's all there was to it, nothing more than that simple idea, you understand, you wouldn't need this whole sefer. That's why most people run to the next to the last pasuk. Sof davar kol nishmar, so akim yiravas mitzvot hashmar, tizek al ola. Because they feel that, you know, that that's the whole essence of what they do. Not to say, it doesn't mean that what they're doing is wrong, but certainly their philosophy does not sum up the philosophy of life. The philosophy of life. Yes? We'll explain that too, that they didn't want to include Kehelis in Kishrei Kedesh. It was machlokes whether they should include Kehelis in Kishrei Kedesh. And of course the historians and the Apocryphians say the reason why they didn't want to include it was because it goes against the simple philosophy. But the historians think that the simple philosophy is the philosophy of Chazal. And therefore, they didn't like Kehelis because it says a lot of things that shook them up. But of course, if that was the case, they would never have included it. They would have banned it. They didn't have to include it. The fact that they included it shows on the contrary. The question whether Kehelis could be Kisvei Kodesh is a halacha question. The question of whether you could have, whether Kisvei Kodesh, since there are many arguments in Kehelis, and Kehelis has many contradictions because he presents many arguments. A lot of the arguments are not true in reality, but they're presented because they're part of the search. So the question was whether Kohelis could be part of Kishrei Kodesh because it contains ideas that really are against the philosophy of Yadis. But as a part of the search, very necessary ideas, very important ideas, the conclusions are wrong. But the conclusions from those ideas are wrong. But those ideas as being part of an investigative process are very necessary and very important. But the reason why Chazal were in doubt, or Machlokes, as to whether you can include Kohelis in Kishrei Kodesh, is because that was the very question. The question was, can you have a Kishrei Kodesh which has ideas that are against their alien philosophies? Their alien philosophies are against the conclusions of the Torah. So, therefore, you might say that you can't include it in Kishrei Kodesh. It's very nice writing, the Chokhmah Shlomo, but it doesn't belong in Kishrei Kodesh. Kishrei Kodesh only states true ideas, only ideas that are true. So the Gemara says no, because since it says Sof Davar Kol Nishmar, since the conclusion, Kohelis himself makes it clear in his writings that you can't draw any conclusion from those other ideas. So in the Sefer itself, he states that the true conclusion is he states the true conclusion, the final true conclusion, and since he does make that statement, so therefore can be part of Kishrei Kodesh. That was the decision. That Kishrei Kodesh can contain philosophies that are against the conclusions of the Yahadis. Provided that it is stated clearly what the true conclusion is. That was the decision of Chazal. That was the debate, really, about whether Kehelis belongs in Kishrei Kodesh or doesn't belong in Kishrei Kodesh. It wasn't because Chazal, in any way, his historians would have people believe that Chazal was threatened by Kehelis. They were threatened by it, they'd get rid of it. Chazal weren't threatened by anything. Chazal were a chachomim, and they knew the true ideas. There's nothing to be concerned about. They weren't worried about knowledge. Okay. Pasuk Yutzes. Ki berov chokhma rov kos v'yosef das yosef macho. So a person that gains more knowledge gains more anger. Over here, anger really means frustration. The Yosef Das, he who increases his knowledge, Yosef Macho, increases his pain. So over here we'll be saying that knowledge is not a good thing. But knowledge results in pain. Right? Okay. Take a look at the... Perek Beis, Pasuk Yud Gimel. Right. The Ra'isi Ani, and I saw Shiyesh Yisrael Machachma Menasechwas. There's a greater benefit to knowledge than ignorance. Ki Yisrael Na'or Menachoshach, like the benefit of light over darkness. And he goes on, Hechachma Menachoshach. The wise man's eyes are on the front of his head. He sees what is happening to him. Vaksil, and the fool Bachoshach Olev. He walks in the darkness. Okay? However, contradiction. Here you have the contradiction again. The Adati Gamoni, and I know, Shemikra Echadikra Eskulam. The same thing's going to happen to the Chacham and Exil, and he spells it out. The Yoma Ramati, and he believes, Shemikra Exil Gamoni Ukraini, Veloma Chacham and Chacham Tiaz Yosef. So what benefit is there in Chacham? The Dibati believe you, and I said, Shegam Zehova. It's totally different. What's Hevel? I don't know what he's talking about. What is that? Hevel, the idea is what he's saying, Hevel, or is the idea Hevel, or the original statement? Well, what does he mean? Okay. Then you have, for instance, Perek Vav Pasuk Ches. Ki mayoso l'chocham min aksil. All right. Mayoso l'chocham min aksil. It would seem again that there's no advantage to being a wise person. There's no advantage to being a wise person. No advantage to being a wise person. Then you have a chachma tells the chachma. The chachma is strength for the chachma. Asar shalitim shari beir. His wisdom is more of a strength than any type of physical prowess, physical strength. Okay. Chesamah mika chacham miyadei pesha davar. Who is like the wise man who can understand how to unravel a how to interpret a thing properly. Chokhmas Adam Torah Panav. The wisdom of a person makes his face light up. Lo's Panav Yeshuna. Has a whole different appearance. Okay? So here he's praising Chokhmas as something which is incomparable to any other good that man can have. And then, of course, in Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Yud Aleph, that's written by the conclusion. Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Divrei Chachochem kidorvonos uchemas meros netulim balei asifos. He says that the words of a Chachem are like hammered nails. It means that every statement of a Chachem is like something which is solid, which can't be moved. You see, dorvonos means it's the peg that holds the we don't have the machrisha, the plow, but it means it's something which is. Which is solid and something which is firmly planted, can't be uprooted. The words of the Chacham. Okay, so you see the contradictions with regard to Chacham. The area of human happiness. Perek Aleph, Pasuk Beis, Gimel, and Dalet. All right. Havel Avolam Amar Kohelis. Havel Avolam Kol Havel. Everything is worthless. My Yisrael Modern. What benefit is there for them? B'cholam Olah Shi'am Tachas Shemesh. Everything they worked under the sun. It means it's just nothing. Everything is worthless. Kol advarim yigayim, pasuk ches. Lo yuchel lishvadaber. Lo sis bayin liros, lo smolos and mishmola. A person's never satisfied, he's never happy. Okay? You take a look, for instance, Perek Dalet, pasuk aleph. comes under two topics, really. Let's leave that one go. Tarek Dalet, I'll bring that in later. Chaf Beis and Chaf Gimel. No, there's no Dalet. I'm sorry, I didn't mean Dalet, Tarek Beis. Alright, so the Averi says, that now I'm going to be happy, I'll make myself happy, and I'll have a good life. This is also nonsense. Alright, then you have, so the Averi seems to say that happiness is nothing. You can't be happy, a person cannot be happy. Perek Aleph Pasuk Chaf Beis, again, he says, Chaf Beis. What benefit is there for man in all his work and all his thoughts, all his striving? And then he goes on, all his life is pain, frustration, at night time he can't rest. And of course, you never know what he means. Funny statement there. You don't know what does it mean. Does it mean that what he's saying is really true and therefore the whole thing is hevel? Or this idea is hevel? You don't know what he means when he puts it in a form where he leaves it open. You don't know what it means. Gam zehevel. What is gam zehevel? Subject to interpretation. He leaves it very cryptical. Okay. Hey, take a look at hey. You're passing your test. Here he says. Here he's a little bit more of a cheerful disposition. Gam kavod ma'shenasim alakim osha v'cha osha nachasim mishpikul lechol mimenu v'losis tzchalka v'losmoch b'malo zom matas alakimni. So the person that has wealth and he's able to enjoy what he has and be happy, this is a gift of God. It's a gift of God. So here he seems to be a person can be happy. He's very happy. This person seems happy. It's a gift of God. Fine, but it's possible. But then in the next pasuk. Again, it seems that things are turning down a little bit. But he won't remember the days of his life. All right. So this is difficult. But obviously, the pasuk is going down over here. Now, next, Vav Beis. Alright. In Vav Beis he goes back the other way. Has everything he desires. But God doesn't let him enjoy it. Somebody else is going to enjoy it. This is a terrible thing. Alright. Then he goes on to say that if the person lives in many years, 100 years, he says, and he still doesn't have any enjoyment. And he says, and even a decent burial he doesn't have. Tovim men are nafel, better if he would have died before he even was born. Very pessimistic situation. Gam shemesh lo rov, lo yod, they didn't have any nachas. That's it. All right. Now, here he says. Here he gives his prescription for happiness. It is better for a person to go to the house of mourning than to go to a house of joy, partying. Better being in a house of mourning than a house of partying. Bashar self kolovim. That's the end of every man. Racha yitin libo. You should think about this. All right. Then Dalit leiv chacham beveis evel. The heart of the wise man is in the house of mourning, and the heart of the fool is in the house of partying. Okay. Here, it's just the opposite. Vishibachti aneis asimcha, and I praised happiness. Asher ein tov lo adam tachas Hashem. There's nothing better for man under the sun. Ki imlecho v'lishtos v'smoach, eat and drink and be merry. That's the way he should spend the days of his life, under the sun. Strange, huh? Justice, you take it with the justice, take it with a pair of gimel plus a gizayin and your test. Arti ani believe it. Here, give him plus his eyes. Amati ani believe. I said in my heart, as a tzaddik, as a rasha, yishpat olakim. That God will judge the good person and the wicked person. There's a time when every person, everything that's done is going to somehow or other come before God for justice, and therefore there is true justice in the world. God is a true judge. Okay. Pasuk Yates. Nope. Ki nikra b'nei adam nikra b'hema mikra echad lahem. That just like what happens to man happens to whatever happens to the animal happens to man. Same thing. Mikra echad. Just like one dies, the other dies. And they both have one soul, one spirit. There is no advantage to man over the animal. Doesn't sound like justice is going to be done. Okay? Then take a look at Dalid Aleph. I took a look at all the people that were oppressed under the sun. Vine dimaso ashukim, the tears of those who are oppressed. He sees the tears of those who are oppressed. Vein la menachem, no one can console them. Umiyad oshkeim koach, vein la menachem, no one can save the oppressed. So it seems like justice isn't being done. Then you have ches hei. Chesed, shomer mitzvah, a person who keeps the mitzvahs, lo yeda davaro, will not know any evil. Okay, veisu mishpa yeda lechacham, so the chacham will know only justice. It seems that there is justice again. All right. Pasuk yizal yeshevel ashenasa l'aretz. There's an evil that is done on the earth. That what occurs to them really should occur to Rishayim. And some wicked people have what the righteous should receive. They always have a good life. God gives them a good life. Again, you have that statement, which you don't know what it means exactly. Don't know exactly what that what the meaning of the statement is. All right. Be taken two ways. Hey, last pasuk. Yud beis yudalek. Ki es kol maaseh olakim yovi b'mishpat al kol melam. In tov and ra. Every action God will bring to justice. Whether it's good or whether it's bad. So it means God is just, and every action, every hidden action will be brought before God, and God is going to judge it. Does it seem on the contrary? That God judges everything. All right. Touch on this. Take a look at now the topic of ethics. Perek beis pasuk gimel. What is the proper way to live? Tati validi. Limshach bayayin es besari. He thought in his mind that he'll drink wine. Validi noe bachachma velechos besifla. To do both. Chachma and the chachma and also syphilis. Adasher era eza tovus neodam ashiyas tachas mayim mishpayim mechayim. Seems to be that's an appropriate method of going about things. Okay? Then take a look at Zion, Tes Zion Yed Zion. Al ti tzadik arbet. Don't be too righteous. And also again, Baltaskakam Yosa. Don't become too wise. Lama Tashuman. Then Al Tirsha Harbe, Valti Socha, Lama Samas Loitecha. Don't be too much of a Russia. Seems like he's proposing sort of a middle way, a little bit of a tzaddik, a little bit of a Russia. Tova, and that's what he says, next passage. Tova Shatechos Bezev, Agami Zeh Al Tanach Hasidecha. Yireh Lekim Yetzes Kula. What is that? What does it mean? The boat? Yishas and Tishkis. Alright. Then I'll just mention, then Perek Dalet, the last pasuk, seems to be in the contrary, very righteous. Shmar raglucha kashatelech obeis olakim. Be careful when you watch your feet when you go to the house of God. And beginning of Hey, Aleph. Al tevav al picha v'livucha al yamayah lahotzi dovah fnei olakim, ki olakim ha-shamayim v'al tol ha-orat, v'al tenyid v'rechim ha-otim. on the contrary, seems to propose a very religious approach. Religious approach. Human success. Take a look at Gimel Pasuk Tes. Gimel Pasuk Tes. He spells it out. My Yisrona Osa Basher Omel. What benefit is there to man and whatever he works for? Okay? The Gamzo Rochola, Koloma Shabbat King Yele. It means a person that gains nothing out of life. Has nothing out of life. Well, my Yisrona Osa Yamal Ruach. In Beis Chafam, sorry, I skipped that one. Beis Chafala. Person that works with knowledge and with wisdom and with correct thought. And what happens? And somebody else, he leaves it over to somebody else. Right. He says there's an evil that happens on the earth and it's very prevalent. Very prevalent. What is it? That God gives a man wealth and a chosim and honor, and he's not missing anything, right? Yeah, but that's the one I mentioned that one before. But there's another one in the beginning. The Sanesi, that's right. After he builds up the whole thing, the gardens and the pools and all these different things and the gold and the silver and everything that he gathered together. More than anybody else I've ever had before, and he says that I hated life because everything he turned on everything he looked at everything that he did, and he says, and it was all for me. And he bays your bays. I turned to take a look at not that pasuk. So I took a look at everything that I accomplished, all my accomplishments. Everything is empty and wasteful. They're frustrating. Then Yisron Tachas Shemesh. There's no benefit. Okay. Then he spells it out a little more. In Yitches V'Sanesin Yiskal Amole, I hated all my work that I worked under the sun. Shani Chenu LoAdam Shiachar. I should leave it over to somebody else, because eventually that's what happens. He dies and leaves it over to somebody else. And he goes further. Not only I leave it to somebody else, I don't have it myself, which really doesn't do me any good. Like he says in Pasuk Kof Hey. He says, "Ki mi yochal mi yochush chutz mimeni." Besides, anything anybody enjoys, aside from myself, is not an enjoyment anyway for me. No benefit anyway. But besides that, he says, "Umi yadechach mi yasochal." I don't even know if the person that I leave it over to will be if a wise man or a fool, and he's going to have control of everything that I worked and that I gathered and I accumulated and everything that I've done under the sun. This is a terrible thing. All right. Alright. That's the Zion Aleph. He starts a little bit differently. Tov Shein Mishem and Tov. V'yom Amavis Miyom Yivaldo. There he says that a good name is very important. As if there's some value in a good name. What do I care about a good name? So he's dead and he has a good name. What good is it doing? Miyachal miyachash kuf mimani. Then Tess and Dalid. Tess Dalid is Talgit, right? The second half of the pasuk. Tess Dalid. Famous quote from Shlomo. Ki lekelav chai yitov min aryei ha'meis. Because a live dog is better than a dead lion. In other words, no matter what it means is that as much as a person accomplishes, even the greatest person, his success has an inherent limitation, not just an inherent limitation, it's a limitation which makes the whole thing worthless. Makes the whole success, it makes a parody of the whole success. Destroys it. And that's his death. Because the world is only interested in the here and now. The here and now. That's what the interest of the world is in. So you say a man is successful, yeah, but the moment he's dead, it's simply non-existent. Nobody's concerned about it. People are interested in the here and now. And right now, this dog is walking around. This dog is more of a reality than the person who was the great man and the great, respected, successful individual. Right now, it's nothing. Absolutely nothing. And the dog is more of a reality because he's alive. You have to cope with him. He's a part of the realistic framework. Whereas the other person, as great as he was, But in one moment, he's not a part of the framework of reality anymore. It's as if he never existed. But the dog is walking around. The dog is a part of the framework. They say, this is what happens. So he says, the whole concept of success is a concept which is of the moment. So the moment comes. Inevitably, that moment has to come. It draws near, and finally it comes. And what is it? Nothing, absolutely nothing. Worthless, completely worthless. Okay. And if a person would think of that, he couldn't really strive for it. Because the knowledge of the person, the only reason that people strive for success is because somehow or other they could put that moment out of their mind. Okay? But if the moment was really, to them, a reality, they would be emotionally incapable of perceiving. The impossible? Person, no, they're 100 years from now, 50 years from now. It's absolutely what he's doing now is completely has no value, will have no value whatsoever. That just like right now, a person who was very successful 50 years ago has no meaning to anybody here. Nobody's really concerned about it. The only ones they're concerned about is people who have made it into the annals of history. People who have made it into the annals of history. Excuse me. Because it serves as it serves as a hero for them in the present. But, how many people can make it in history? You know, millions of people in history. So most of the people, insofar as their success is concerned, the people that that had that great success, right now it means nothing, absolutely nothing. There are millions of people out there, millions and millions of people were successful throughout the years. No one even knows their names. None. But a dog that's alive today, well, people are going to say, somebody is relating to the dog. The dog has a value. He has more of a value than those people have today. Yeah, they have nothing, absolutely nothing. That's the statement of the government. Yes. Tov Shem Yishem and Tov seems to be that, somehow the good name is important. And then he says before, he says, who can eat and who can drink besides me? Who can sense, who can eat and who can sense besides me? In other words, the only thing you can do is for your own senses. Ultimately, it has to be your own senses. It's not your own senses. What good is it? It's only a fantasy value. Okay? Basically, the answer, see, alongside all these different things, runs a solution, strangely enough. I'll be able to show it to you afterwards, but let's first take a look at there's a dilemma here that faced Shlomo HaMelech. Let's try to get to the nucleus of the dilemma. Then I think perhaps they will understand more the solution. Solution what? Olam Haba, I'm sorry. Yeah, Olam Haba. I didn't do that? Okay. Olam Haba is in contradiction too. Because in Perek Gimel, yeah. That's where he says, we had this before, but he says that one occurrence occurs for man and to animal, like one dies, the other dies, and they both have one spirit, and there's nothing extra in man, there's nothing additional in man, and no advantage in man over the animal. Everything's hevel, everything's empty. Then he goes, a kol halacha makom echad. Everything goes to one place. Everything came from the earth and goes back to the earth. Mi yodea ruach b'nei odam ha'olah hilamolah ruach ha'beima yiredes ilamat alorah. Who knows the spirit of man that goes up and the soul of the animal that goes down to the ground? Seems like he's questioning. You know, superficially, it seems like he's questioning what happens. Nobody seems to know over here what happens. In other words, it sounds like when they're telling you that you're going to go to Olam Haba, this is, we can't accept this so easily. Who knows about this? People do think about that once in a while. It's very nice, but has anybody ever been there? Anybody ever come back? I mean, people ask this question, you know? Them. Who knows whether it's true or not? People do it. I mean, they hope it's true, and they might be a big motivating force, but the miyodeya is always lies at the bottom of it. Somehow or other, that miyodeya can't get rid of it. All right? Then he concludes, as a matter of fact, in the next pasuk, V'ra'isi, and therefore I saw, ki ain tov, there is nothing better, may Hashem yismach ha'odam b'masa, the person should be happy in what he does, ki hu chelko, because this is what his chelik is, what he does in his life, his present life, ki mi v'yena liros, meshi acharav, Who's going to bring him around to see what goes on after he's dead? I mean, sounds like it sounds pretty clearly like he's telling you that this idea that you have of the Ruach Adam Ola Lamaila and the Ruach Abhema Redis Lamata, it's a nice idea, but who really knows about that? I mean, let's be a little more realistic. That's Varisi Gamani. He says, Reisi, and I saw, Ki ain't told, Mashiach Marat of Amasa, Ki Yukalko. Median Lewis, Mashiach, that's what most of the people say. I mean, who's going to bring you around to see what happens after you're gone? After you're gone, you're gone. So enjoy your life here. This is your chalik, this life, and don't do anything over here for the next world. Because, who knows? Against Pascal's wage. Pascal's wage was basically very foolish. But he said that you should be, on a chance, you should go for Olam Haba. This is a chance. Because even though it's a chance, famous thing, Pascal's wager. But even though it's only a chance, but he said, but look what you have to lose, and look what you have to gain. He says, you can gain eternity, and what are you giving up? Yeah, but it's very foolish. Because the point is, you're giving up everything you have. It's foolish. It's like telling a person that has $100, you'll tell him, look, give me that $100, all the man has. Give me the $100, you have a chance in a million that you're going to get the $100 million. Yeah, but it's a foolish wager. It's a foolish wager. It's not worth it. Man say, what I know I have, I might as well hang on to. This, what you're telling me about Olam Haba, is I don't see any support for this. There's no basis for it. So why should I take something that I know, how little it is, but that might be all I have? Might as well enjoy that. Another reason why his wage is very ridiculous, because those who maintain that God will reward you in the next world, it's only because you have a firm belief in that idea. But if you're going to do it as a wager, so then you're going to lose that both worlds, according to him. Because what's going to happen is like this: this world you're going to lose because you're going to be suffering and doing things for the next world. And they come to the next world, God will say, did you believe in the next world? He'll say, no, I did it as a wager. That's it. That's what the Gemara says. Chazal says very well. Pascal was a great mathematician, but he wasn't good in philosophy. He just stayed in his area. But Chazal say that a person should make sure not to lose both worlds. That's an intelligent statement. Don't lose both worlds. At least get a Olam Haba. The Gemara says Don't be like those people who lose both worlds. It means that they're insincere in their religiosity in this world, and therefore they have nothing in the next. And they, in the meantime, this life they wasted away with torturing themselves and doing their religious actions, which they weren't sincere in. Yeah, Chazal. Yeah. Take this world. That's what they said. At any rate, test yours. Whatever you can do, your hands are able, whatever you're able to accomplish, in other words, with your strength, do. Why? Masa, the cheshbon, the das, the chokma, the shol asher ata holef shom. Because there is no action, no deeds, and there is no account. Cheshbon means calculations, and das, knowledge, wisdom, or wisdom in the grave where you are going. It seems that he came to his conclusion already. That there's nothing going on down there, so you might as well do it here. People say you can't take it with you. It seems he's denying Olam Haba. What he's saying is actually live over here because there's nothing over there. Not only does he say there's no physical enjoyment over there, he says even Das and Chachma. That seems really. Seems against everything we hold. The Chazal say, Chachma, that the what is Olam Haba? Tzadikim Yoshim, Atrasim, Rashiim, and enemies of Ephraim. Chachma. No, there's nothing there. The Sheol, there's nothing there. Nothing in the Sheol. All right. A Perek Yud Beis. I one time gave a shim. I'm not going to repeat it. But the basic idea of this shiur was that he gives, it's an interesting thing, he gives over here, you should really look through it, it's a very beautiful formulation. What he does is, in Perikid Beis, he shows you, he gives a description of a person's physical deterioration until he dies. You see? He says, he talks about the days will come in which you have no desire to live. And he says when the sun is dark, and the light and the moon and the stars are extinguished, so their light is extinguished, and the clouds return after the rain. And he goes on, he says, in the day that the Shomrei HaBayis, those things that guard the house, he gives a mussel, it's a mussel of a city. It's a mussel of a city deteriorating. Really, every part of the city is a mussel for man. One part of the front is different parts of his body, his spinal cord, he gives you how everything deteriorates. His vertebrae, his teeth, what the telkonos can be ate through, there aren't any, and the grinders are minimized, and the teeth. And then he talks about the person, how he gets an old person, how he walks, and he's afraid of the next step, you know, and every little mound is an obstacle to him. He can hardly walk. The whole deterioration of how a person deteriorates, you see. And then he says, he talks about that a person finally dies. The person finally dies, and he says, the yashov ha'ofar al ha'aretz kishahaya. And the earth, the dust, the dirt is returns on the earth like it was. And then he says, v'haruach, but the spirit, the neshama, tashuv el halokim Hashem Asana, returns to God who gave it. Now, does he believe in Olam Haba or not?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay. So there he states on the contrary, the spirit returns to God. But before he says, who knows? Well, what is it? What kind of book? Okay? He's even in contradiction about his personal knowledge. Perek Aleph, Pasuk Tazayin. He says like this. Dibatan ibn libi, I said to my heart, Ani neg dalti vasafti chachma. I became greater and I accumulated more knowledge than anyone that was before me in Jerusalem. V'libi roa harbe chachma v'das. And my heart saw much wisdom and knowledge. Okay? And then in Zayin Chaf Gimel, what does he say? In Zayin Chaf Gimel, Kol zon asisi b'chachma. All this I proved with chachma. Amarti achkama. I said I'd become wise. Zehi rechokam imen. It's very far from me. Okay. Contradiction even with regard to his own personal evaluation, his own personal status, insofar as knowledge is concerned. I think the answer really opens up from one of the psukim that we mentioned. One of the psukim we mentioned was with regard to Olam Haba, where he says, "Etel es gimel kafala." That, and also gimel yirala. We'll come back to yirala in a second, but let's take a look at this one first. All right. A lot of psukim become clear once you understand the basic thesis of Tehillas. A lot of psukim become, the whole thing opens up, becomes clear. You see? This pasuk is a very important pasuk. Mi yodea, who knows, ruach b'nei ha'adam, the soul of man, ha'olahi lamala, that goes up above, and the soul of the behemoth that goes down, lamata l'oretz, into the ground. It means it just dies. Alright? Dispersed, deteriorates, gone. Destroyed. Now, the Ibn Ezra has an important commentary on this. The Ibn Ezra is like this. What does he mean? Who knows? He says you have to be a grammarian over here. When it says mi yodea ruach b'nei adam, if it's a question, it should be mi yodea ruach b'nei adam ha olehi lamala. Hey hashela means the hey means the question. So what it should say is, who knows the soul of man, ha'olahi lamala, does it go up above? Or no? Or on the contrary, in contradistinction, the ruach of the behemoth that goes down to the ground. But it doesn't say ha'olah. with the Hey Ashela. It says Ha'ola. Ha'ola. Ha'ola means that goes down. So therefore, the meaning of the pasuk. The pasuk has different meaning. It says like this: Mi yodea. Who knows the soul of man that goes up to the heavens? Which means to say, not that it doesn't go up, but that who knows it? He said, who knows it? That's the point of the pasuk. Because if the pasuk meant as a question, who knows the soul of man? Does it go up? It would be ha'ola elamayla. But no, in ha'ola means that it does go up. All right. Of course, so you'll say that the Ibn Ezra saved Koheles from denying Olam Haba by the comets. By the comets. Fine, good, but you're still going to have a problem with the next pasuk. Because it says, Varis, you can't tell me, Shayyis Macharim Masadiyukhoka, Kimivim Liris Meishi Afarov. You're not going to get rid of the next pasuk. The next pasuk still says, so what? That the only thing we should do is be concerned about this here and now, this life, right, this momentary life we have right now. Because who knows what's going to happen later? At any rate, getting back to the Ibn Ezra, what the Ibn Ezra in fact is saying, let's understand the pasuk. The pasuk means like this: Miyodeh means who knows. So the Ibn Ezra says that in order for a person to understand what it means that the soul of man goes up above, which means to say the eternity of the soul, to understand the concept of the eternity of the soul, who knows it? What does it mean, who knows it? He means very few people are on the level, the philosophical level, that they can understand the proof of such a thing. That they can understand the proof of such a thing. Only one in millions and millions, one in generations maybe, that really have an accurate knowledge of the proof of the existence of the soul, you see, post-mortem. Very few people have a knowledge of that. That knowledge is only for the very few. Very few chachamim have ever been. Most people do believe in it. As a matter of fact, we know that even primitive cultures have some idea like that of a world to come after that. So it seems most people really do accept this, do believe this idea. So what is the answer? What is the answer? And the answer is that's precisely what he's saying. He's saying there are only a few people that really understand what it means that the soul continues to exist after death. I'll show us an effort. But most people's belief is just based on an emotion. Based on an emotion. It's a fantasy emotion. It stems from another part of their nature. It stems from a part of their nature which stems from the imagination. It's from the imagination. As the Rambam calls imagination. Okay? In modern times you'd say it's like a narcissistic type of fantasy. But it's the same, you have to grasp on the desire for man to grasp onto eternity. See? Man's fantasy of immortality. That's why it's so appealing. It's a very appealing idea because it captures man's fantasy of immortality. But the truth of the matter is that he's not denying that it's true. It's true, but only very few people really understand it. So that's why he says in the next pasuk, he says, if that being the case, he says, you see, the problem is like this. The problem is, what Shlomo HaMelech is taking up, his problem is not just what the good is, not just philosophically what the good is. That's why Koheles is different than Aristotle, or different than Plato. Because Aristotle and Plato take up mainly the questions of what is philosophically true or not. That's a question. But Shlomo HaMelech is dealing with a different problem. His problem is not only what is true, but his problem is what really is in line with human motivation. Because let's say, for instance, I'll show you that a reality exists, but it's completely alien to your nature. So what good would it do you? You see? What good would it do you? Most people, not only don't they understand what it means, Hasharas and Ephes, but actually if they did understand the type of existence that they have after death, they would turn their backs on it. They wouldn't really want it. When they think of Olam Haba, their idea is a totally distorted one. It stems from their imagination. There is a true idea of Olam Haba, but the true idea of Olam Haba is not something which appeals to the emotion of man. Where does the idea of Olam Haba gain its impetus among the masses of mankind? Where does it gain its impetus? It gains its impetus from one source, from the fantasy of immortality. Okay? And the fantasy of immortality is responsible for preventing man. Not only is it responsible from having false ideas, but it's responsible for preventing man from seeing the true ideas. Okay? Kahelis maintained that the most powerful force in man is the ego. That's his premise. In contradistinction to Freud, who was mainly concerned with the id. Okay? Kahelis maintained that the most powerful part of man, the most detrimental, the most destructive, is man's ego. And that's what he says really a little bit before in the same paragraph. He says, Gamas olam nosim belibam. See what pasuk is that? You know, Gamas olam nosim belibam. Mebli asher lo yimtza odom es ha-ma'aseh asher osah ha-lakim me-rosh va'ad sof. You see? He says that Gamas olam nosim belibam means in their heart God implanted a feeling of olam, eternity. And because of this feeling prevents man from uncovering the masa, the actions which God did from beginning to end. It means uncovering knowledge. Because the fantasy of immortality prevents him from seeing reality. It's a block against seeing reality. Now, basically what Shlomo HaMelech is saying in all of these things, in all of his contradictions, his question is, what should a person do in life? The problem, the dilemma is a big one. It's not just a question of what is the right thing to do. You can't solve this with just philosophy. Because just philosophy might teach you what the true world is. But if your main striving is not for that, so then it's not going to help you. Okay? And that's the dilemma, really, that's expressed straight through in Kahelis. That's the dilemma that's expressed. What he's saying is that the fantasy of immortality, the narcissistic and egoistic drives of man, express themselves in three areas. Three areas. One area is the area of accumulation of wealth. That certainly is probably the most prevalent area. But not necessarily, really. Not necessarily. The emotion will find its way into other areas also. And the two other areas, the two main areas that remain, are, first of all, religiosity, religion. The religion itself caters to the fantasy of immortality. So that the person wants to be more righteous in order that he makes a gain in terms of the world to come. So he figures really he's a step ahead of the wealthy man. Why? Because the wealthy man has it over here. But he knows that's just temporary. But he really has it over there. Eternity. You see. It's like somebody one time said, a religionist was trying to influence somebody. So he said, the religionist was trying to influence the person, said, look, whatever, I'm trying to help you. I have nothing to gain. He says, what do you mean you have nothing to gain? You're going to gain eternity if you help me. You see? So the fantasy of immortality is not relegated exclusively to physical and material gain. It can exist just as well in religion. In religion, a person could be religious, and his frumkeit and his religiosity is based on the fact that he has the key. He has the door to reality. He has greater access to the real reality than the person who has a temporary good. So he didn't escape. He really didn't escape. Actually, it's the same thing as the material person. The only thing is it takes on a different form. And then there's another area where, there's another third area where it expresses itself. And the third area is knowledge. Even knowledge isn't devoid of this. You see, people feel that if a person, some people, to them, money is the way to achieve their immortality, others religion, but there's knowledge also. A great professor, a great scientist, a great thinker, he also is after immortality. I mean, today you hear about the scientists that make the discoveries, and they trip over each other and kill each other to get to the press, to print it first, to make sure that they get the credit for it. And Einstein, as a matter of fact, had a friend who was a great scientist, but he aggravated himself all of his life, finally committed suicide, actually, because he always felt that he had such great ideas, and somehow or other people printed them, and they became known for them, and he was unknown. He was really a great thinker. But I think very good. There's no question about it. The chachma is people who respect chachma. People who respect chachma, what they respect in chachma is not really the pure chachma. As a matter of fact, the Gemara says that was part of the reason why Acher turned away from Torah. Why? Because the Gemara says, Chazal say that his father saw the chachamim. He saw them studying, and he saw a halo around them, which means that he saw they were respected, and he saw the prestige of them, and it attracted them. And Acher apparently had that problem. That's why Acher, when he saw that the son, a man's son, went up into a tree, and he fell down and died, and it says, "Raman yarichon yamecha." You see? He says, "Where is it? Where is the justice?" Apparently, Acher couldn't really tolerate the idea of that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says very beautifully. The Gemara says that Acher saw this two mitzvahs, which says "Raman yarichon yamecha." One of them is to listen to your father and mother, and the other one is to Shluch Khan, send away the birds. And this man went up and he did both. He listened to his father and he was the kind of Shluch Khan. He fell off the tree and he died. So Acher said, that's it. Schar mitzvah, the whole Torah is false. It's not true. There's no schar. And the Gemara says, Il mole dorish Acher lahai kra. If Acher would have darshan that pasuk differently, that Laman yarichon yamecha means la'olam shekulo orach, then he wouldn't have turned away. Why does the Gemara mean? Acher didn't know how to dash and took him. It was a simple thing. Acher was a fool. He didn't know. It was a mayor's rebbe. So what does it mean? The Gemara means that he was unable to understand the pasuk in its really pure sense. That Olam Haba he was unable to understand Olam Haba when it's untainted with the fantasy of mortality. He was unable to understand that. That's what the Gemara means. Il mole darash Acher lahai kra. If Acher was able to darshan that pasuk properly, it's not easy to darshan that pasuk properly. The Gemara doesn't mean you have to be a good darshan. The Gemara means you have to have the nature, the ability to be able to perceive Olam Haba completely apart from the fantasy of immortality. As long as Olam Haba is tied to your fantasy of immortality, then you're subject to kfira. And that's why Acher. That's really why Acher became a kafir. That's why Acher became a kafir. He's unable to do that. That's what the Gemara says. Abba nechusul apartis. Apartis means that the person goes into higher metaphysical thought. Not everybody's capable of doing it. Only one person out of four of the great Talmidei Chachamim of Klal Yisrael were able to emerge complete and to gain from it. Because any imperfection that a person has is going to show itself up over there, and he is in the greatest danger. But he should remain on a lower level and not understand completely, because his understanding is not ready for such understanding. That's what the Gemara means by Acher. Moedar Shachalaika. So, yes. Manya Rechon Yimech Allah Domo is in a general way. The Pasuk has two meanings. The Pasuk, the claim shot in the Pasuk, of course, any Mikri Yisim Bechita. The Manya Rechon Yimech Allah Domo doesn't mean for an individual. it means for Klal Yisrael. Ask Klal Yisrael, keep the mitzvahs, so then they will they'll be able to remain on their land and continue such an existence indefinitely. You see, that's what it really means. But it also has has another meaning, a hidden meaning, which is for the individual. That's the way the Mesorah was, that the hidden meaning of the pasuk is that the individual has a special reward. Special reward. And that reward is Olam Haba. Kimei Hashemayim Alvarez, everyone says. Kimei Hashemayim Alvarez means Olam Haba. It's a reference. The Torah doesn't openly mention Olam Haba. As a matter of fact, you see, the Torah didn't want to even appeal to that emotion. The Torah did not want to appeal to the emotion of the fantasy of immortality, because nowhere does the Torah say, do the mitzvah stuff of Olam Haba. Not one place. And every other religion, they always promise people Olam Haba. And Yahadus and the Torah does not mention it. Why? Because Yahadus is a realistic religion, and the Torah simply wants to show the people the benefit in this life. Olam Haba is not in the Torah, because Olam Haba is in the Miyodea. It's an abstract metaphysical thought. It's not in touch with itself. It's alluded to, but it's not really in touch with itself. If it were in Tarshav Iksav, then the plain person would think that that's really the purpose of the mitzvahs, his own fantasy of immortality. That's why it's not there. It's not in there in Tarshav Iksav. Historians are amazed at the fact that the Torah doesn't have it. And of course they're upset by it too, because the historian wants everything to fit into his whole his method of historical development. They say, how could it be that a people could maintain, they agree, the Torah, even according to them, was written at least over 2,500 years ago? So how could it be that a nation should be free from such fantasies? So they maintain that it's not a problem, that there are some people that these ideas came up later in Chazal, the idea of Olam Haba. The only thing is that they didn't know psychology, because every primitive race that has ever been discovered always believes in Olam Haba. That's the way it's a part of the psyche of man. And it is an impossibility, actually, for a nation to exist 2,400 years ago, 2,500 years ago, and not to believe in it. The only reason is because the Torah is Menashe Mayim. But that, of course, they wouldn't accept. But there is no answer for that problem. There is no answer for that. There's absolutely impossible answer. So, at any rate, getting back to what Shlomo Melech is saying, Shlomo Melech is saying, really, that in man's nature, the problem, the philosophical problem, is not so much what the good is. Of course, it's tied into what the good is. But the big problem with man is his nature. His nature in relationship to his objectives. You see, man is such that anything he does will always be catering to that fantasy of immortality. You take away the fantasy, everything is havel avolam. That's what it means, havel avolam. Havel avolam means that everything that is done is being done for another purpose. That purpose doesn't exist in reality. So therefore, whenever a person achieves a goal that he set out to do, he has to turn around and say, this is Hevel. Because he was striving for something that he thought in his imagination exists. But in reality, when he gets there, it doesn't exist. So therefore, it has to lead to frustration. You see? That's the basic premise. But not only with regard to the physical material gain, but the same is true with regard to Chachma, and the same is true with regard to religion. And religion also. Religion also just serves and caters to that fantasy. So that's why Shlomo Melech says, Alti Tzadik Harbe. What are you're wasting your time, you see? That's why he says, what's the benefit of Chachma? You see? A person, he says, the Chacham dies together with the fool, and Mikra Echad L'Kulam. It means that if a person is realistic, and he takes a look and sees, and is honest with himself, and sees what his underlying motivation is, he'll see that nothing really is going to cater to what he really wants, because what he really wants doesn't exist. So therefore, it's all a waste. Everything's a waste. Chachma's a waste. Osha's a waste. Yeah. Now, okay. Let's take each area. Okay. Where he says, Kol asher timtza yadcha la'asos b'chokh ra'aseh. What he's saying is, if you really were honest with yourself, so you should do everything you can. Why? Kein ma'aseh v'cheshmeh v'das v'chachma b'shol asher t'hol ha'shama. What is he talking about? Ma'aseh v'cheshmeh. He's not talking about the real chachma. You see? What he's talking about is, he's talking about chokhmah that a human being really wants. that which a human being is attracted to in Chachma. He's attracted to the aura of Chachma. He enjoys what his Chachma accomplishes in a physical, material sense. That does not exist in the grave. Nothing. But then when he says in the end, Baruch Yoshua Lakim Asher Lakocha, Asher Nesana, that is referring to that's the Miyodea. That is the fact that occurs. But that fact is not satisfying to man. Now when he mentions Chachma, let's take Chachma for instance. Where is his the contradictions with regard to Chachma? So he says like this. He says, Paragraph the beginning of the class, was it? Now your gimel becomes clear. Your gimel becomes clear. You're going to sati es. Oh, let me take first. Take first your class. Your class. Kibarov kochma rov kos the Yosef das Yosef macho. He says that the more knowledge a person gains, the more miserable he becomes. Why does he become more miserable? Because the more he sees how he's not in line with what his underlying emotion is. What makes it, that's why a lot of people say there's always the fantasy of the happy truck driver. Don't think too much. Just have a simple life. He drives his truck, he's very happy. You see? What is that fantasy? There is some truth to it. The idea is that a person recognizes that his mind works against him. Because the more he understands, the more he sees, the more he uncovers reality. But reality is inherently not aligned with his fantasies. So the more discrepancy there is between what his emotions want, which he can't get, and what reality is. So reality is a total pain. So the more you uncover reality, the more miserable you become. You see? That's Yosef Das, Yosef Machal. But when he praises Chachma, see, when he praises Chachma, where is it? Vavchas? No, there, no, he puts down there. In my Yosef Chachma Axel. But Ches Aleph is it? Ches Aleph. Mi keh Chachma mi yadeh pesha dova. Chachma sadam torah panah v'oz panah yishuna. What is he saying over there? Over there he's talking about the mechanism in, when you talk about, see, he's talking about Chachma in two different ways. He's talking about Chachma insofar as it is used to service man's desire for happiness, and he's talking about Chachma insofar as it is an abstract institution. It's an institution, a faculty. It's an abstract faculty which has the most unbelievable ability to uncover reality. You see? That, insofar as that is concerned, it's the greatest, most inconceivable phenomena that there is. The human mind. What the human mind can accomplish is unbelievable. Even if you look at the just Chachma in the world, I mean, what the human mind has been able to uncover. Scientific knowledge and where man is, how far man has progressed. It's astonishing. It's astonishing. That's from the Chachma Selokim. So Chachma as an abstract faculty, there is nothing that compares to Chachma. Nika Chachma. Chachma ain't a Verosha, Vaksuba Choshefalek. If you utilize that faculty, so then you have knowledge, you know, your person knows exactly what he's doing, and his life is in order, and the fool just plods along in darkness into one stumbling block after another, because he has no knowledge of where he's going. You see? That's basic gimel. That's basic gimel. That's right. That's basic gimel. You see? See, he's not talking, see, he's, what he, and now I'll tell you, the question is, of course, which person is the, he's not talking about happiness at this point. See, in philosophy, you have to split apart the different phenomena you're examining, and then later you can put together philosophy. But that's why you have the contradictions. The contradictions stem from the fact that he splits them off. One is the faculty of knowledge per se. It's worshipful. I mean, the man's chachma. It's amazing. It's the most amazing phenomena. It's a gift of God. Not this again. But the only thing is, nevertheless, insofar as being a vehicle of human happiness, insofar as man's makeup, his emotional makeup is concerned, it works against him. Makes him more miserable. He realizes he might become ill, he might get sick, he might die. He finds out new information that people who have such and such are vulnerable to such diseases. Maybe he's such a person. What do you know? Found out that he can't eat meat and and eat the foods that everybody enjoys because of the cholesterol, heart attack. So what happens? So now his life is miserable. Without the knowledge, he wouldn't know. He would die earlier, but he wouldn't know. Be happy. Who needs this knowledge? Knowledge goes against him. Goes against his fantasies. Frustrates him. That's Yosef Das Yosef Machos. But as an instrument, as a vehicle of uncovering what goes on in the human body, it's the most amazing thing that man can use his knowledge to make these discoveries. Okay. That's the two sides of Chachma. Now, justice. Gimel Yudzayin. Amarti ani b'libi es hatzadik ves harasha yishkot alokim ki es l'chol chesed v'kol amas Hashem. Alright? So here he says that God judges the tzaddik and the rasha. Right? And where does he say just the opposite? Dalet Aleph, the shafting yivar eskol ha-shukim, and the people who are oppressed, there's no one to save them. Right? You have it in a few places. Ches hei. Shom mitzvah le'yedah davara. Right? Shom mitzvah le'yedah davara. Then you have ches yudalid. That on the contrary, you have people who are tzaddikim, and what do they get? The reward they receive is just like the rishonim. They have bad life. V'yesh rishon shemegilin k'maisa tzaddikim. Okay? And then he says again, Amarti Shigam Zahevel, you don't know what he means? Alright? What is the solution? The solution is like this. That insofar, what we spoke about before, like I mentioned with regard to Allah, that insofar as a person is looking in justice for his own, he can't remove himself from his material framework, so it's foolish to believe that he is a tzaddik with a rasha Yisrael with him. Not true. Because you see, it's not as simple as himself. Take a look. Look around and you'll see. That's why Apikorsim always cite such cases. But religious people simply don't concern themselves with the problem. Because their own emotions are being satisfied somewhere else. So until it happens, something happens to them, everything's fine. Okay. But the truth of the matter is that insofar if a person is looking to do good because he's looking for some type of guarantee in the physical world, some type of guarantee that he'll have a good life and he'll have a nice family and have nachas from his kids, and he wasn't expecting it. He didn't. He had bikesh leisha b'shava, all the Torahs he had. People wouldn't like to live Yaakovina's life. I don't think they would like it. But the truth of the matter is, then he says, what does he say? He says, where's the place? It's hard to remember. Below Yimalik Reshes Bolov. Below Yimalik Reshes Bolov, a person will not get away with wickedness. And before he says, no, that God doesn't judge anybody because everything goes to Makom Echad. Right? Then test. What did he say? No, that's something else. Basic dollar, was it? The way he wrote it is hard to... It's called a Masel Akim Yavi B'Mishbar Kol Nela. Because every little hidden thing you'll be judged for. And then also he says, I'm sorry, there's another passage. That he says, V'zachor es Baruch HaBimei B'chur Asecha. What did he say? Before. Smach Bacha. He says in Perek Yid Aleph, test. We left this one out. Smach bachol b'yaldusecho v'yitiv chalibcho b'nei v'churesecho v'haloch b'daki l'becho v'mare enecho v'dor. He says, go ahead, go do whatever you want. But dor, no. Ki al kol eilu v'yichol v'shem ha-mishpat. God will bring you to judgment everything you do. What he means is that the real judgment of the soul and the benefit of the soul in doing good is not something which is a simple thing for people to see it. But the real good stems from the nature of the good and a deep understanding of the nature of the soul. If a person would understand that, he would know what the benefit is in living the good life, and he would understand that the tzaddik really, no matter how bad he can have it physically, doesn't really mean anything. It's nothing compared to the life of the rasha who has everything. It's an impossibility. It means that there's a perfected soul which has to be in a state of happiness, you see, because of his perfection. And no matter what little he has, or what befalls him, you see, he still is in a state of perfection where he enjoys life in this world and the next world far, far greater than the person who's imperfected. He simply can't function. He's in these contradictions. He simply can't function. So it's impossible for him to be happy no matter what he can do. So really, the kasha is no kasha. It's only a kasha insofar as a person is tied to his physical, material life and his fantasy of immortality. But in reality, it's not a question. In reality, the world is just. So, you know, Chazal was satisfied to say that Schar Mitzvah B'Hai Al-Malekah, Gemara says. Schar Mitzvah B'Hai Al-Malekah. Gemara says that there's three things that are dependent, are totally in Mazel, not in Swiss. How long the person lives, Chai Boni Mazainit. How long the person lives, and the type of children he has, and what kind of panasim he has. Totally in Mazel. Mazel means chance. Not totally in, it's not dependent upon his sitkus, you see. Because Chazal were able to say that because they knew the benefit of the good. Anyone who knows the benefit of the good and is drawn to the good isn't really concerned with the secondary benefits. But people who aren't on that level, whose basic drive is an emotional one, they can't tolerate such an idea. So for them, they look at the world and they say, where is justice? Where is the justice? Where is the justice? Tashgacha. It's true that type of a person who was on the highest level of Hashgacha, it's true, but those were very few people in the world that were on such a level. The Gemara says there was a great one Amara was a very great person, a great tzaddik, and lived and died in his 40s. Another person was not as great, lived to be 90. So this is not the area of where you get your reward for tzitzis. It's not. But for most people, it's very nice philosophically. But what Shlomo Melech is pointing out is that as nice as it is philosophically, it creates an emotional dilemma. Because if a person finds himself, it places him in a dilemma. What is he going to do? So what should he do? He can't. His emotions want one thing, and what's in reality is not in line with his emotions. So what is he going to do? He follows the what's in reality. So he's not going to be happy. He follows his emotions, so then he's going to... The truth is, see...
Why did they pick those three things?
I think those are the three most important things in life. Tomorrow's towards the end of my talk. You have to realize that you can't... I mean, the reason why you can't go around quoting these things to the Hamon Ayam, you wouldn't get a shear like this. Very dangerous shear. What? But you see, the dilemma that Shlomo brings out, he brings it out in its full force. Because on the one hand, he shows you that it's not simply a question of being religious and not religious. Definitely. It's a question of human happiness when you get down to it. Because the point is like this. So let's say a person will say, okay, so this is me, so I'm not capable of living the world of reality. I can't do it. It's not in line with my emotions. So I'll go after the regular world. No, not so simple. Not so simple. That way it's not simple either. Because then he's following his fantasies and he gets caught again. You see? There is basically Koheles is a dead end. Koheles is not trying to preach religion or hedonism or any specific one of these philosophies to show you the benefits of one over the other. He's showing you that any way you turn, there is no escape. I don't care what route you take. You see? That's basically what he's doing. And the reason why you have this in the psukim that we mentioned before, the reason why he says gamzeh hevel in such a way that you don't know what he means is because it's a double, means double really. Gamzeh hevel means in one sense that the argument is hevel in the true sense, you see. But it also is saying gamzeh hevel that if you're not living in the according to the true way, so this results in hevel. In other words, if you, the argument. And usually when he puts that in after he breaks down an ethical argument. And he says, Gamze Hevel, which means the breakdown of the argument is Hevel, and also the argument itself shows you that whatever he does is going to be Hevel. It supports the argument and breaks down the argument. That's why I wrote it in that way. It has a double meaning. Double entendre, right? What about personal knowledge? On the one hand, this one you feel, this is the solution to this one is easy. On the one hand, he says that I accumulated more knowledge, a greater chacham than anybody that was before me in Jerusalem, and I saw harbe chacham avadas, tremendous amount of knowledge and wisdom. And then he says, I said I was going to become wise, v'hi rachokam meni, it's far from me, distant. He's not a chacham? Nothing? What's the answer? The answer is, insofar as a person's ego is concerned, egoistically, yes. I have more knowledge than anyone that was here in, that was a king that was here in Yerushalayim before me, and I saw tremendous amount of knowledge. That's if you want to speak in terms of comparing me with other people, in terms of how I feel about myself. I'm very confident. I've reached the epitome, you see. But that confidence, that feeling of confidence and satisfaction that he reached the epitome is based upon, what feeling is that based upon? That's an egoistic satisfaction. That's an egoistic satisfaction, you see? But the true idea is amarti achkoma, v'rechokim meni. It means when a person removes the emotions from a person. I don't mean to say that the pasuk means that he was egoistic. The pasuk is necessary because he felt that he has accumulated enough knowledge. In other words, a person who doesn't have any knowledge, they say, look, I'm going to try to figure out the philosophy of life. The philosophy of life is beyond you. Who are you to figure out the philosophy of life? But a person who has reached the level of man, the highest level of chachma, if he can't figure it out, then it's impossible. Then there is no philosophy. And there is no philosophy. Because the point is, the good way of life for man has to be for a man. Who's it for? Now, if you're going to tell me that a lower person can't figure it, fine. But a person that's on the highest level, so then forget it, and there's no philosophy. That's why it says, that means he had to make an evaluation, a comparative evaluation of himself, in order to know that he's worthy of going into the, entering this investigation. But then when he says amati achkama v'irachotam imani, that was in subjective terms before. But now amati achkama is the objective. That means man looking at his faculty and comparing it in terms of the amount of knowledge that there is in the world and what his mind is capable of perceiving of the sea of knowledge that's around him. That's only one way to feel about that. Amati achkama v'irachotam imani. Far. Can never reach it. You don't feel like a chacham. You feel like a fool. Okay. So again, the subjective and the objective, that's the answer to the contradictions. They're all based upon that one premise. Okay. Alright. Really, he really hid the ideas with the contradictions. That's how he worked. That was the method of the Sefer. He hid the ideas with the contradictions. Success is what? Gimel test? What do we have there? My Yisron Ha'osa Basher Ho'omel. What benefit is there to man with whatever he does? Alright? So what does that mean? That means to say, like we said before, that he comes to satisfy his fancy, he's worthless. Mm-hmm. Basically, in general, I want you to know, the whole Sefer is, in general, a breakdown of the fantasy of immortality. That is the whole Sefer, actually. To show how reality is not in line with that. Do ha lef do ba, and Reza Chodeshu, people see modernity, people see new things. That's why I mentioned it. You go through the old tapes, you see, we talk about that. Why people wear new clothes, it's to break their relationship, break their identity with the previous generation, because the previous generations are gone. We don't want to identify with those people. So therefore, this is new, Reza Chodeshu. This is new styles. How much money, millions and millions of dollars are into styles of clothes. Because the style of clothes is behind that style is a tremendously powerful emotion. It's a fantasy of immortality. Modernity. Modernity denies the immortality of man. Denies the immortality of man. Modernity says we are different. We dress differently. Yeah, contradicts. It supports the immortality of man. The biggest supporter, the greatest supporter of the immortality of man is modernity. Because in modernity you could say that we have reached the epitome and we are living like nobody else ever lived before and we're never gonna stop. You see? That's Reza Chodeshu. But he says, that's why he says, Kvar Hoya Lo Lomim. Some people ask a question, they say, what does it mean that every invention existed before? They get crazy, well, Chuck, it doesn't mean it. Nothing to do with invention. What he's talking about, Reza Chodeshu, is the emotional effect of something new. Reza Chodeshu. This is totally new. Nobody wore a jacket like this 100 years ago. No, Kvar Hoya Lo Lomim. They had their own jacket. Same thing. Didn't work. So the... they also went through this this phase, right? But people can't learn from that. People can't learn from that. That's really what it is. The whole sefer basically is a breakdown of that fantasy. That's why he says, for instance, the pasuk where it says pasuk tes yud beis, or tes actually. If you take a look at tes tes yud aleph. Shafti v'ro tachas ha-shamash. Ki lo la-kalim ha-meirot, v'lo la-giborom o-chomo, v'lo la-chachomim lechem, v'lo gam lo l'nvonim osher, v'gam lo la-yodim chen. Ki eis v'fege yikres kulon. He said, I saw also that not to the quick runner is escape, and not to the gibor, the powerful fighter, he doesn't always win the war, and not also not to the person who's very intelligent, does he always make a good deal, is he successful, and not to the nvonim, the deep thinker as well. He ace for figure yikres kulam. What does it mean? He says, no matter how smart they are, no matter how powerful they are, there's always an ace for figure. Ace for figure means something occurs that they didn't think of, which upsets the whole plan. The unforeseen. So what does it mean? It means what he's showing you is not only is there no immortality in terms of what's going to happen after you die, but there's a fantasy in life also. A gibor. You see a powerful man. You say, this is... These are the ones that are going to be victorious. Oh, some crazy occurrence happens. How many times throughout history? And that's it. They lose. So there isn't even the fantasy with regard to the present, insofar as these phenomena are concerned. That's what he says. You take a look through the sefer. You see, he always breaks. That's what he's doing. He breaks down the fantasy of man's ego and narcissistic ego. Okay. Then he says, "Gam lo yed hodam asito." Person doesn't know his time. Kadogim shenechozim bam tzoda ra'a. Like fish that are caught in a bad net, like the birds that are caught in a snare. Like they are man, for a bad time, when the occurrence and suddenly the person is snatched away. That's it, all over in a second. Okay. That's the breakdown. That's the breakdown of the immortality of man. That's basically the sefer. Basically, the sefer deals with that theme. But the other is what he's showing you is not just that. It's not as simple as that. What he's showing you is, but the drive for the immortality is inescapable because it's so powerful in human nature. So therefore, he's caught. Man's caught up in a dilemma. How could he live? It's impossible to live. It makes his life impossible. Okay. Now, we really didn't hit upon the solution, but I'm telling you the solution is interspersed. Interspersed in the contradictions is the solution. As you go along, you should really have to go through it. I mean, we can't go through the whole sefer here, but if you should go through it and see how he works it, how he weaves it in. He weaves in the solution every now and then. Let me see if I can find one. Okay. Here is, he says, for instance, where he says, Lev Chachomim Beveis Evel.
Who is that?
It's in Zion Dalet. It wasn't the point I'm looking for, but I was looking for where he talks about being happy. Oh, we'll get back. Where he says it's good to be happy. Leif chachom beveis evo. Leif. What did he say? Ches tesvav. Ches tesvav. Yeah, shibachti nias a simcha. She ain't told one of the tachas shem shim lechol lishos l'smach. You see? Then he says, what does he mean? He means like this. Shibachti nias a simcha means that reality dictates that the only good for man is that he should live a happy existence. That certainly is what reality dictates. Live a happy existence right here and now. Because that is a rational principle that you can't escape. Because whatever you're going to say, if you're going to say, forget about Olam Haba, there is a, what is, that's not important. The important point is that if a person lives in accordance with his nature, then he should be happy, because God didn't create a creature to be unhappy. So that you can't remove. That you can't remove, you see. And really, Yadus maintains that the person is who lives the correct life is Ashrecha v'Tovla, Ashrecha b'Olam Hazeh v'Tovla b'Olam Habah. Both go together. That's why the Shalmi says you shouldn't put down Olam Hazeh. The person puts down Olam Hazeh, the Shalmi says something wrong with it. So it's both. Man lives the proper way, he has to have both. That's a principle you can't deny. Yeah. The only question is, of course, how to achieve that. Zion, see, certain things he drops along the line. He drops out a little like this. For instance, where it talks about going, it's better to go to the base of Ovel than to go to the base of Mishta. What does he mean by that? He says, Leiv Chachomim Beveit Zevel, the heart of the wise is in the house of mourning. What does that mean? It means that the wise person, that's the beginning of the... He doesn't see that emotion. He recognizes, on the contrary, that life is really very sad. Why is it mourning? What he's mourning is the loss of the fulfillment of the desire of his underlying happiness. You see? That's a stage of a chacham. That's a stage. That's not the final stage, but that is a stage, a necessary stage that a person has to go through. The chacham must go through, must traverse that area.
He mourns the fact that he can't have it.
He must find a time of mourning. There must be a time when he recognizes his own nature and his own emotion, and he sees how far he is from achieving that. You see, how it's impossible to achieve it. And then he's the vase level. That's when he recognizes that his immortality is a fantasy. Okay? That's Lev Chom Vase level. A chayit in olivo, that he's going to die too. Okay? That's what it is. Now, Yadati ki ain tov bam ki im lismoach v'lasos tov b'chayav. Alright? Now here he says that the main thing is to be happy. But you see, here already is a part of the solution. What does it mean? It means like this. It means what he's saying is that the only way a person can really achieve any degree of happiness is really to be able to remove himself from the fantasy of immortality and just be able to live in terms of the present and to recognize that. He has to be, the only solution for man is to be able to remove himself from that fantasy. It's a difficult process. It's a slow, it's a painful process. He goes through the base level. But he can do it. He can remove himself from it, and he sees life as a very small, if he does it, he sees the existence as a very small thing, and that's it. He says, Yim l'smach v'lasas tov b'chayah. If you notice the ring of the pasuk, it means be happy and do good, and that's it. And basically, the self dova kol nishma, that's what it means. See, that Pekursim said that somebody else said that on there. No, self dova kol nishma fits in perfectly, exactly, so they don't understand Kelly, they don't understand that fits in. Self dova kol nishma means self dova hakol nishma, as a lakim yura, that's mitzvos of shmor ki zekal adam. What does it mean ki zekal adam? Ki zekal adam means that's it. Man is nothing, basically. He's nothing. But the only thing is that there is a way. It doesn't mean the fact that he's nothing, the fact that he gives up his fantasy and his narcissistic ego, doesn't mean that there's nothing left. There is something left there. That thing has to be treated according to the proper way, which is Elokim Yiroh Tzvos HaShmor. But it's not Elokim Yiroh Tzvos HaShmor because he's going to have another way of getting immortality, another fantasy. No. Kizekalada means that he recognizes that this is, that's it. Now this solution, really, he drops in every now and then, here and there. See? It's interspersed, really. You take a look at, let me see. What? Because he says, Kiim the smaller philosopher tells Bechayav. And he says, like this. He says, take a look at Gimel, go further. The Gam Kalodim Shiocha Vashas of Ra tells Bechalamalo, Matas Elokim Hi. What do you mean, Matas Elokim Hi? What do you mean? It means, he should never conceive of his happiness as being a result of his own conquest. You see? That's what he's saying. If he does that, then he's caught again. He's back in the same trap. But his happiness he should view as a matas alakim. That's it. If I have a good day, I enjoyed my day, matas alakim. Who created my whole environment and whatever I enjoy? It's all a matas alakim. There is no ego satisfaction attached to his enjoyment. The only enjoyment that a person can feel, the real enjoyment a person has, is that he can remove the ego satisfaction from his enjoyment. But it's a difficult thing to do. But success, okay, modern society is completely against that. Modern society is totally. But that's the influence of modern society is no different than the influence of the other Vatasaras or Lowers. Any of those, any influence. That's our society. It's very alien influence. And that's one of the worst things that exists in our society. The fantasy of success, you see. The person can't be happy that way. First of all, only leads to very few people even being in that position, because in order to be successful, you have to have a lot of unsuccessful people. So you're saying that you're condemning most of the population to unhappiness. But That's why Mark Twain says, be happy for the fool, because without him, who would you be? in order for a person to be happy, you have to remove that fantasy completely. He has to be able to just sense, not that so much him. That's the reality. He intersperses the solution as he goes along. He really, now you have a deeper understanding of Chafala Chafbez. You have a deep, what time is it? I don't know. Chafala Chafbez like this. That Mi yodea ruach b'nei ha'odam ha'olehi l'mala. He ain't told me she yismach adam masat yuchaza. He needs yenu liros b'meshi yi acharos. What is he saying? He's saying that a person's happiness should not be tied to anything.